Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This podcast is brought to you by Epicor Profit 21 ERP. Purpose built for distributors. In sports, the best teams don't chase the scoreboard. They set the pace. And in distribution, pace matters. 60% of top distributors run on Epicor Profit 21 ERP. It's ERP purpose built for distribution, enhanced with agentic AI that doesn't just inform, but acts. Optimizing inventory, streamlining purchasing, and making every day easier. Don't play catch up. Visit epicor.com/win.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the United Stands. I'm Mark Goldbridge. It's Monday morning. It's transfer news. It's exciting. I think I know who the loan deal is, if we're going to do it, by the way. We'll talk about that. I've got a bit of a runny nose. I've literally just been at the dentist. I've got to get a crown. That's why I'm late. It's my own fault. I've been eating too much sugar. But we're ready to go. And it's a big, big, big news story this morning. So Fabrizio Romano saying that there is a meeting taking place with Carrick and the board about transfers in January. We'll delve into that. Also got a few other bits around the fallout around United and ex-players and all this. And also, I think I figured out who the loan deal is. I really do. It's not Matt O'Riley. Look, if you guess it, fair play. But what I would say is the answer was sort of under our nose anyway. As I say, I'm 95% on the detective work. I feel like I've gone back 15 years, Detective Bridge. Yeah, I'm amazed that nobody's ever come up with... I've never seen anybody mention the name in the whole 3 days since Ben Jacobs mentioned it on the Football Terrace. I've never seen anybody come up with this name. And I'm 95%. Ben Jacobs won't tell me. And I wouldn't want him to, and he won't. Apparently Terry knows. He won't tell me either. But I'm 95% sure. And yeah, we'll get into that in a minute. But we are going to start off with the big news, which is factual because it's coming in from Fabrizio Romano, that Manchester United will hold talks today with Michael Carrick about transfers. And these are the words of Fabrizio Romano. Manchester United will have a board meeting taking place early the week to discuss the transfer window with Michael Carrick, and he will have the opportunity to share his ideas. Now, you would expect this meeting to include things like Joshua Zirkzee's future. You would expect it to include the loan deal, which is apparently something to do with Carrick anyway, and potentially spending money on the likes of Ruben Neves, etc., etc. I think that lots of people are guessing in the chat. It's not Nicky Butt, although that would be great. That would be very, very good. Our socials would pop. But before we get into that, I want to just talk about what Romano's saying. Now, look, somebody said, why does it say "what the" on the thumbnail? Because there's two strands to this. First of all, I'm happy. I'm happy that we beat Manchester City. I want us to beat Arsenal. I want us to win loads of games, and I want us to be in Europe, and I want to enjoy watching Man United. And I think we all want that, right? I also want Glinios out of this football club. They're a bunch of idiots. And I think this story, again, sort of emphasises that. You can want Man United to win, and you can want change of ownership. Now, I did a video this morning. I think a lot of you have watched it. You should watch it because it exposes how short-term this plan is at Man United. It exposes how much they kid you. It exposes how we're a business, not a football club. Because long-term, I think we're in big trouble. You know, when you look at that video this morning, it breaks it down, the high squad value, how much everyone else is spending, how much we need to spend, and how much we know we won't spend. So whatever we achieve in the short-term will always end up back here in the long-term. But what does this meeting with Carrick mean? Well, it's short term. It's Michael Carrick saying, I want players now that I think will help me now. Any manager, if they're asked in a meeting, do you need players, is going to say yes. But they're not going to go and buy Michael Carrick Elliot Anderson, and they're not going to go and buy Michael Carrick Osimhen or anything like that. These are going to be conversations about, we might be able to do you a loan deal. We might be able to do you a cheap deal. And I think that's the sort of conversation we're going to have. Because even if Michael Carrick was given the full-time job, he should only be asking for big players in the summer. He should not be, you can't be sacking Ruben Amorim because he wanted players in January and then bringing in an interim and giving him players. That would be incredible. So we can't do that. So I think this meeting will be, what opportunities are there in this market that can help us in the short term ahead of the summer where they want to spend big, right? It does pose the question why they're doing this halfway through January. I think that is a great point. Why are we sat having a meeting with Michael Carrick on the 19th of January when this window has been signposted for 4 months and open for nearly 20 days? That in itself is a fantastic point. Why are we sitting down now, 19 days into the window, and we've known about this window for 4 months? That is Wilcox's problem. That is Berada's problem. And if I'm Sir Jim Radcliffe, I'm asking that question. Why 3 weeks into this window are we sitting down to discuss opportunities in this window? Look at the points we've missed out on. Look at how much it's cost us to sack the manager. You said you weren't going to do any business for Amrim, and now you're going to do it for an interim. What's going on? And they're valid. They're very valid points. They're very valid points. It's got nothing to do with Amrim or not. It's to do with the fact that coming into the January transfer window, it doesn't matter whether it's Michael Carrick, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, Ruben Amrim, or bloody James Corden in charge, or Ollie Mears. You still need to do stuff in January. So I'd be saying to Wilcox and Berada, okay, it's good that you're having this meeting, but why didn't you do this 3 months ago? Why didn't you do it on January the 1st? You know, whether Amrim was here or Carrick was here, you still needed players in January. Why are you sitting down now with an interim going, let's have a meeting about signings? I mean, one of the falling out points with the previous manager was that he wanted signings. What the fuck are you doing? And I think that's a great point, but that's not reflective of the fact that we need to do it. So the positive for me is that we do need to do it, but you can certainly say, why are they sitting down now doing it? Absolutely, exactly. If I was Michael Carrick, I think you've got to be looking at the midfield. And maybe Joshua Zirkzee going out of the door as part of that. I think in the way that we're going to play, we don't need Zirkzee. I think Sesko might be on the bench on Sunday. You've got Obi, and you know that Carrick will use him. You've got Mbeumo can play up front. Cunha can play up front. Mount can play as a number 10. We probably don't need Zirkzee. So we can probably move him on a loan deal, make a little bit of money, and use that money towards a midfielder that we do need. So I think that'll be the limitation of the conversation. I don't think the conversation is going to be any more north than that, really. I don't. I think it will be based around that and nothing more. If there's anything extra in that, and I've seen a lot of people talking about, Ruben Amorim and not Ruben Amorim. I've seen a lot of people talking about Ruben Neves and stuff like that. Look, if we're going to get a lone midfielder and Ruben Neves in the next 2 weeks, happy days. But I would sit there and go, happy days. I'm very grateful for that. Make sure they've signed and go, you fucking idiots. Why did you not do this at the start of the window? Why are you doing it at the end of the window? But I take them. I take them. It's like a Christmas present from an auntie you don't like. Oh, I'll take your present. But I remember what you were like when I was younger. Nothing sinister. Just you were horrible. So I'll definitely take as many players as we can get in the next 11 days, but 12 days, but I still think they've walked into it stupidly. Now on Ruben Neves, nothing of credibility is out there. Nothing. Like absolutely nothing. I don't even know why people are getting excited about it, really. But let me just get rid of SAJ cleaning. Sorry about that. Still get idiots in the chat. Well done to the mods. So yeah, Fabrizio Romano basically saying that... No, sorry, SJ Cleaning was saying a lot of talking about nothing. Mate, it's a news show. It's Fabrizio Romano saying that we're having a meeting about transfers this morning. Now, I'm sorry, you might be a class A moron, but that's not something that we knew a few hours ago. That's quite significant for a club that's saying they're not going to make any signings, and the Athletic have said we're not going to make any signings. That's quite big news, mate, for a Monday morning news show. And if you think that's nothing, please just leave. I've sort of bit on that one a little bit, haven't I? But it amazes me how people watch this channel and come on and say, oh, it's just nothing. You know, it's boring. Piss off, basically. So look, I'm going to start talking about the loan deal now because I think a lot of people are guessing. So we'll see what happens with this meeting that Fabrizio talks about. But I would imagine within that meeting, the mystery loan deal will be discussed. as per Ben Jacobs on the Football Terrace on Friday, putting it out there that Man United had held secret talks on Friday for a midfielder loan deal who has played in the Premier League before, but is not currently playing in the Premier League and isn't playing in Saudi, right? Rabiot's not played in the Premier League, mini brew. Now, I've spent all weekend, and I'm not that guy. You know, I respect the fact that when this comes out, this is Ben Jacobs' story. And I'm sure he will pop it out when he wants to. But I am also aware that maybe somebody else will drop it before him. And I'm 95% sure I've figured it out, right? And I'm not going to drop the name. I'm not going to drop the name. As much as I would love to do that, I also believe that this is Ben Jacobs' story. And, you know, even if I'm right, which I'm 5% might not be, but I'm 95% sure I am. Even if I'm right, I don't want to drop the name out because, you know, you could drop that name out and ruin the deal as well. You know, you could drop that name out and people go, we better not do this. And then United don't do it. And also it's Ben's story to drop out. So all I'm going to say is the player I'm thinking about has played in the Premier League, isn't in the Premier League at the moment, is over the normal age. So they're not young. They're over the 26 barrier that we normally have. And from the homework I've done, and God, it's took me a few hours, I have basically gone back over previous interviews, and it is a name that's been mentioned before. It has been mentioned before. And it amazes me that nobody's ever mentioned this name. And even on the show now, nobody's mentioning this name. Nobody has mentioned this name. A couple of people are mentioning it now. But the point is, all on Friday, we had Loftus-Cheek, we had, you know, Billy Gilmore, all these names coming out. And I never saw anybody mention this name. Now, what I will say is, because I want to drop a bit of a hint when it comes out, so people go, oh, he's not bullshitting. What I will say is, quite a mid signing. I think some people will get excited if it happens. Some people won't. And you're going to know the name at some point. When it's safe to say it, I'll say it. But I think Ben Jacobs has got to put it out there first. A very mid signing, in my opinion. Ridiculously short term. This will not be something that people want long term. It's not, in my opinion, a player that's going to make Man United great again. I understand why Michael Carrick would want it. I do understand why Michael Carrick would want it, because it's better than nothing and there's a bit of experience there. My concern is injuries. I see him as quite an injury prone player, and he has quite a specific injury problem. And that would be my concern. Other than that, he's definitely better than nothing. You wouldn't be buying him in the summer. I would hope we wouldn't be buying him in the summer. It's a player that is better than nothing, in my opinion. So I've still not seen lots of names in the chat again, but I'm not seeing it. I saw it about a minute ago once, and I've not seen it since then. And there's a lot of people saying certain names. No. Joshua, you're wrong. Nacho, you're wrong. It's not Ruben Neves. Not on loan. Ooh, Super Chat might have... Gold Fridge might be onto something. No, I'm joking. So, look. Rika's wrong. Gold Fridge is wrong. I'm just looking at members' chats as well. So, look. That... hopefully is what the decision is going to be today. Hopefully they're going to make that decision. What I would say is, though, if I'm right on who it is, and all will be revealed, I'm sure, soon. Hopefully Ben Jacobs will just put it out there. And if I'm wrong, I'll say I'm wrong, but I'm 95% sure I'm right. If that player is the player I think it is, then I wouldn't be surprised if United don't do the deal. If it had been, let's say, Billy Gilmore at Napoli, I can see why Man United were going to do it. And I think they'd do it But with this player, I'm not even confident they'll actually do it. I'm sort of 50-50 because it's the sort of player that it's better than nothing, but I also think there's a bit of risk to it as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But I've dropped enough hints that when it happens, I can say, well, I did say this, and I did see this. One secret midfielder could bridge the gap to the Champions League, says Amit. Well, look, I think in this meeting that United are going to have with Carrick, he's got to push for as many things as he can get. You know, if he can get a winger as well, great. If he can get two midfielders, great. But certainly one midfielder would be useful. And on the outgoings, maybe we'll see Ugarte go. Maybe Ugarte will go to Turkey. Maybe Xerxes will go to Italy. So I think that this, on the most important level, it's really positive. Like, if we can move off Ugarte and Xerxes and bring in a couple of players that we're actually going to use, we're in the short term, we're in a better position for the rest of the season. But the question has to be, why didn't we do it sooner? Why was this a falling out point with the previous manager that led to his sacking? And then you sat there doing it with an interim anyway. Like, we should have been doing this in December. That's my thing. But look, there's two separate things. The urgency is to support Michael Carrick now. That's a good thing. But the idiocy is why we weren't doing this in November, December and early January when we needed to be doing it as well. So let's wait and see. The loan target is Højbjerg, is it not, says Araki. I'm not going to confirm anymore whether it's them or not, because I have seen the name a couple of times and I'm going to leave it at that. But I've also said it's not a couple of names as well. So Goldfridge says it might be Danny Ceballos. He barely plays at right midfield. Welcome to Manchester United, Bakayoko, says Jojo. Remember him? Where is he now? I remember I wanted him. He went to Chelsea. I mean, is he still playing? Bradley Davidson, welcome to Members Club. One secret midfielder could do it, says Amit. Is it Juan Mata, says Jarrod. Does his mum do his finances, says Nick P. And I remember you called it that the spin will happen in January, that they wanted to buy someone good but run out of time. Now they'll buy big in the summer, says Nonny. Yeah, look, and what I will say is that it's very much in the mould of sort of Eghorst and Ighalo. It's very much like that. That's what it is. It's very much a Ighalo Weghorst type. I think people get excited about it because it's better than nothing. But I also think Nonny is right. We're Manchester United, Manchester City. We beat them at the weekend. They've just bought Gehi and Semenyu. And we're talking about mystery loan deals for people that Everton might sign. You know, then it's not at the level we need. It's not. It's better than nothing. It's definitely better than nothing. And we need to do something. But it's not at the level it needs to be. Absolutely not. And I would agree with that. Your 8 a.m. got me thinking. We have Project 150, but also Homer Barada saying Europa League baked into the budget over that period. Contradictory, at least, says Paul. Watch the video this morning. I'm not going to add too much to it because there's a lot of good comments in there. It's well worth watching. But in summary, that video is about how whatever happens in the short term, we're going to be back here again in the long term, because I believe, and I think many people believe, that there isn't the money to get anywhere near Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool or Man City. But we're just not going to spend that money. And also, they're going to get further and further away. And United's real strategy is to mug you off, fight for fifth every year and get Europa League or the Champions League until they build the stadium. I think the next 10 years of Man United is screw you over, make you fight with each other and fight for fifth or fourth or sixth every year and nothing more. I don't think they've got any intention of going anywhere near Arsenal, Man City, Liverpool or Chelsea. I think it's about fifth place or sixth place every year for the next 10 years, baked into the figures. That'll help us build the stadium. And I think that's what we're going to do. And that's what this morning's video was about, with a little bit more depth behind it. Every time I refresh the page, I see Carrick and Neves, says Amit. Thank you very much. Always late, Bridge, says Football Analyst. I told you about that. Henderson, says Keel. Chelsea buy Arsenal, Real, Liverpool targets for 60 million, says Max. Hi, Mark. MUFC MPB, hope you're doing well. Any idea when Ben Jacobs will release the name? Any chance it's today? Everyone's desperate to know, what league is he in? I can't tell you that, mate, because you'll figure it out quite quickly. Hayden Hackney on loan, says Kelvin. Look, I hope that Ben Jacobs is watching this show and is going to put it out there ASAP, because I want to talk about the player that I'm pretty sure it is. And I've dropped quite a lot of hints anyway, but you probably still got it narrowed down to 4 or 5. My concern is that name will come out and it won't be from Ben Jacobs, and he deserves to put that name out. Knowing what I know now, the work I've done, this is a name that you're going to associate with Ben Jacobs if you've been watching the United stand for the last 2 years, 100%. Maybe they've spent weeks seeing who's available, says Gaz. And hi, Mark. Hope you had a great weekend after that amazing win over City. I really hope we can press on and keep the momentum going and win more games. Simon says, is it Scooby-Doo? No. Chris Jackson, I've missed the Monday morning highlights rewatch to chase away the Monday blues. Felt great this morning. One game, but only it has to be start somewhere. Thank you very much. Toby Collier says, who is the mystery loan deal? And Rajaf says, their plan was to stick with Amrim and not make any signings. But after Amrim calling them out and his sacking, they've been forced into signings. Look, just very, very quickly, I'll answer that because it's a super chat. I think they weren't going to give Amrim anything. And the positive of Amrim being sacked is that we might do something. And Amrim essentially is the fall guy, you know, the sacrificial lamb, whatever you want to call it. But I don't think they were going to give him anything. I really don't. And then they're going to give an interim stuff. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, but we do benefit. Why do I think they're going to do something? Because I think somebody in the club has told them that their popularity rating is declining at a huge rate. And if they want to boost it, they need to bring players in. And I think sometimes pressure on the board makes them sign players. I mean, remember after Ten Hag's first 2 games, we lost to Brentford and Brighton. They've been saying for weeks they've got no more money. And then suddenly we spent £150 million on Antony and Casemiro. So I think pressure is why they are doing it, but we will benefit from it. Weston McKennie, I know it is, says Joe. Hayden Hackney from Carrick used to coach, says John. Never played in the Prem though, has he? He is in the Saudi League. He isn't, Irons. That's already been confirmed. Zakaria is barely Premier League proven. United is a joke, says Maz Rawi. But he did play for Chelsea. Great win by United. I fancied them Europa at worst, says Grand Prairie. Me too. Secret midfielder, a blessing in disguise, innit, says Amit. He played for Leeds, says 767. And the lone target is Hoiberg, says Araki. Okay, let's move on because we've got quite a bit to get into today. But look, hopefully these stories are going to develop very, very quickly. Just seen a story from Mike Keegan that Sky Sports requested Michael Carrick to speak on screen with Roy Keane in the studio, and United refused it. Look, as I said last night, I find all this a little bit childish, if I'm being completely honest. I think we just need to move on from it. I know everybody has got a right to be angry with Roy Keane or Paul Scholes or Nicky Butt or Gary Neville or, you know, any other pundit. But I'd rather that than Rio Ferdinand, who basically works for the club. And I know after winning, people are going, no, I'd rather have Rio because he's positive all the time. But there's nothing more nauseating than the club being on its arse like it was 2 weeks ago. And he's sat there, Mr. Positive, because he's on the payroll. So I'd rather have people that are negative and positive than exclusively negative or exclusively positive. And I think that's in life as well. I'd rather get reality and positivity than just pure positivity and pure reality. That's my stance on it. But also, I saw something that caught my eye as well. This came out from the Daily Mail, Chris Wheeler. In the aftermath of an uplifting Manchester derby, Michael Carrick addressed his players in the home dressing room at Old Trafford and said it's really important we don't get carried away. It's one game. That level of performance needs to be a version of normal. And I think that how the Daily Mail got a direct quote from the dressing room, I don't know. I always find it strange how we're dead against dressing room leaks unless it's something like that. But that's like a quote. It's really important we don't get carried away. It's one game. That level of performance needs to be a version of normal. And this is what I think about United, right? You know, like Garnacho gets a load of shit. But he'll have been encouraged to be on social media when it suits the club. And then when they don't like it, they moan about it. And we've got a direct quote, which is fantastic. A brilliantly positive quote. Who's released that then? Have the club put it out there because they know it will do well? Has a player put it out there? We play the game, don't we? We you know, the club hate leaks. But you know, the team news went out from Pratthurst as well really early on Saturday. It's only because he works for the Sun now that no one really noticed it. But it went out on Facebook from Pratters, the full team, hours before.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
But we won the game, so it doesn't matter. But, you know, it's like when you win, leaks are fine. But when you lose, leaks are disgusting. But the club play a part in this. Why are we getting direct quotes about Michael Carrick? Why are we still getting team news for a Manchester derby hours before? There is still, I think, a need to be, you know, consistent here. Nobody likes the leaks when it's like people moaning about the manager after a result. But we all like it when we get a direct quote from the manager from the dressing room. But look, in honesty, I do like the quote. It's really important we don't get carried away. It's one game. That level of performance needs to be a version of normal. And that, you know, I don't need Michael Carrick to say that. I don't need Michael Carrick to say that. I think it's so true. It's so true, isn't it? We have got such vivid memories of not being consistent. And the players aren't off the hook. I think the players have had quite a lucky... I mean, look, the way I look at it is this. Multiple players have sacked multiple managers. Multiple players have played multiply bad games this season. I think just because the board and the owners are rubbish and Amrim got sacked, the players have sort of got away with it. But Saturday, in a way, was... You could look at Saturday and go, how can you play like that against Man City and then not beat 10 men Everton when you're basically the same players? How can you play like that against Man City but you can't beat Burnley a few days before? It's not all on the manager. It's the players. It's the intensity. It's the concentration. So Carrick is right. Like, you know, turning up for the Man City game, well, I don't think any of us are surprised, and well done for turning up. But you've got to put that in against Spurs, against Fulham, against Chelsea, against Newcastle away. You've got to go and do that every week. And they've never been able to do that. They've never, ever been able to do that. And that's the big thing. That's the thing Carrick is right about. You're right about. Can they do that week in, week out? Because, well, I'm not going to answer the question, but if they could do that every week, they'd be in the top four easily. And then you've got to consider, are these players actually good enough then? Interesting. Thomas Frank has been sacked, apparently. I did call that. It's going to be really interesting to see where they go. If he has been sacked. I don't know whether he has been sacked. Why is my... Has he been sacked or is somebody making it up? Oh my God. Why is my YouTube so fucking shit? Not my YouTube, Twitter. It's stuck on the same bloody timeline it's been on for about 2 hours. I keep getting that bloody fan analysis box thing of people jumping around. No, he's not been sacked. David Ornstein says, Thomas Frank to take today's news conference and expected to continue 8 minutes ago. There you go. Yeah. He's not been sacked. You got me all excited there. Oh, I know why it was showing me all that, because of my likes. I want to bring this in, but there's a couple of comments I want to read about here as well. Thanks everyone who's tuning in this morning. Make sure you smash a like on the video. Let's get to 1,000 likes. I've been done. I don't really care as long as it's not United Red. I went to the City game. Ballon d'Or was quality, says Gaz. It's a Nice midfielder and it's Ndombele, says Baz. Now we see how big the mentality part of the game is. Probably bigger than before. Maybe we have to think differently about what makes a good manager, says Marlowe. I went to the City game. Ballon d'Or was quality, says Gaz again. I think you've got twice there. So nice, he did it twice. Secret midfielder is don't know what comes out, says Amit. Okay. Amit, I'm just going to say your comments are really, I'm going to probably have to filter them because they don't really add anything to the show and you do a lot of them. Is it Cesare, says football analysts. Mark, do you think solidifying numbers like 6, 8, 10 have a mental effect on players in that case? Shouldn't we give Mainoo the 6? Just wondering, says Red Devil. I don't know. I don't know whether numbers on the back of the shirt make a difference to players. I don't know. I mean, there's an interesting thing I want to read you in a moment. Wilcox is coming out of retirement on the wing, says Roblin. Is it Emre Can, says Advi? No, it's not Emre Can. The board didn't want to buy for the 3-4-3. It's weird, says Ollie. Thomas Frank sacked if he cares, says Nonny. No, he isn't. Thank you very much for that. Okay. This caught my eye this morning as well. Also in the mail. Although there was discontent among the United players over the personal nature of some comments from ex-players, which was clear from Martinez's angry response to Paul Scholes and Nicky Butt, senior players have encouraged the younger ones not to let it affect them, whilst expressing frustration that pundits are too ready to kick the club when it's down. Now, I think there's two points to that that are quite interesting that I wanted to bring in the show this morning. So senior players are telling players, look, ignore it. Don't rise to it. Now, Martinez is 28, so he's a senior player, so he needs, is he been told or is he going to ignore it? I don't know. But it's a good bit of advice. You're always going to get criticism. Hated, adored, never ignored. Normally it's the external media, normally it's other fans, but you know, sometimes it can be your own fans. So ignore it and focus on yourself. The only person to blame is you. The only voice to listen to is you. United haven't been good enough. So look, that's what they need to do. It's amazing how many players over the last 10 years at Man United have been impacted by external voices. They need to, you know, to be a Man United player, be part of being a Man United player is blocking out that noise and focusing on the team. So I agree with that. But the second part, I sort of thought, well, senior players have encouraged the younger ones to not let external noise bother them whilst expressing frustration that pundits are too ready to kick the club while it's down. Well, hold on a minute. Let's just say Harry Maguire, Bruno Fernandes, who else is experienced? Luke Shaw, Casemiro have told everybody to calm down and not listen to external noise, but said, but we are frustrated about ex-players, you know, kicking us when we're down. I suppose it's a bit about standards then, isn't it? Because I was thinking about this and I thought, well, you know, fair play. They're entitled to their opinion and everyone will probably agree with them. And then I thought, well, if we'd lost to Man City, everyone wouldn't agree with that. They wouldn't. If we got beaten 3-0 by Man City, people wouldn't have agreed with that at all. It's only because we beat Man City that you can say, you know, people are taking a pop at ex-players and stuff. If we'd lost, they'd be going, well, they know what they're on about, which shows you the flip-flop nature of football. But also, what do these senior players think should happen then? Do they think that ex-players fans should not say anything when things are bad at Man United? Is that so? They think that ex-players should just be positive all the time, even if things are bad? Because that says there they're frustrated at pundits who are ready to kick the club while it's down. But let's take Delo, for example, right? If an ex-player says, I don't think Delo's good enough, he's been bad for 18 months, I don't think he's good enough for Man United, what he should say is, leave him alone. He's having a bad 18 months. Leave him alone. I'm sure he'll come good in the end. Is that the right message to send? I mean, what I'm trying to say is, if you have a standard and you don't think a player's good enough, why would you say when they're proving they're not good enough, they're fine, leave them here? I find that a little bit odd that if this is true, senior players are saying we're frustrated that ex-players kick us when we're down. But maybe you're not good enough. Maybe you're not good enough. I mean, look, if I get a meal and it's not good enough, I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to send it back and say, I want a better meal. Do better. So why would you sit there when United aren't very good and go, it's fine, I'll eat it, you know, it's absolutely fine. Maybe some of these players are getting criticised because they're not good enough, and maybe they need to look in the mirror and go, I shouldn't be here, I'm not good enough, you know? What my point is, I think the Martinez thing crossed the line. I like Martinez, and I thought the criticism was unfair. But we can't just say don't criticise anyone. That sounds to me like they don't want anyone to be criticised. And I'm like, so we've won the Premier League, have we? We're in the Champions League, are we? Oh, we don't need to criticise anyone then. We're absolutely fine. Come on. Let's get real. What a silly message to send out that they don't like being criticised when they're not doing very well. Well, maybe you shouldn't be here. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we've got some players at this football club that shouldn't be here because they're not good enough. You're telling us that we shouldn't call that out because it might hurt their feelings. They're on big money. They're living the fucking dream. Maybe they should go and play for Everton. You know, like, I don't think we can't have the standards conversation. And this always happens when you win a game. The Glinios out movement stops and you can't criticise players because we've won one game. And then when we lose the next game, all those people saying you can't criticise players will be criticising those players. We are nowhere near where we need to be, regardless of beating Man City. There are some players in that team, and people have mentioned the likes of Dorgu and Martinez, who are a part of our future, and there are some players in that team are not. And we can't just pretend because the players don't like it. If you're not good enough, go somewhere where you do get praise because that's your level. You know, maybe you get criticised at United because this is not your level. It's not your fault. Some stupid manager brought you here and you're not good enough. But that doesn't mean we have to put up with you for the next 5 years because you're not good enough, because it might hurt your feelings. Maybe fuck off and play for somebody that's actually your level, where you'll get praised for it and we can replace you with somebody else. So, you know, it is competitive sport. It is Manchester United. And whilst I think some criticism is unfair, a lot of it is on the money. And if we just go, don't criticise everyone, we're never gonna be decent if you don't criticise people. It's like school sports day, where somebody wins the race and last place gets a first prize ticket as well, to be fair to everybody. You can't have that in competitive sport. There's going to be shit and there's going to be good. And the good gets praised and the shit gets kicked, right? And there's people in the middle who aren't working as hard, who need to work harder. And there's people in the middle who can get better, and you encourage that. But we can criticise. Of course we can bloody criticise, especially when you're not performing, you know? Do you reckon Bruno should stay next season as number 10, says Amit? That's a better comment. Yeah. I would keep Bruno Fernandes as a number 10 at Manchester United. And I think most of you would. I think the conversation we had, and look, you know, I would have given Amrim till the end of the season. I would have backed him in January. I'm never going to move away from that position. But I'm also not going to move away from the position that I didn't say give Amrim 3 years, so Jim Radcliffe did. I was like, get to the summer, see where we are. And if it's not working, you make a change then. Things I didn't like about Amrim was playing Bruno Fernandes in the midfield. It didn't work. Some people in this community and out wide were like, Bruno in midfield does work, you Bruno hater. You've got such an agenda against Bruno. Well, no, he works a lot better in a number 10. And that got proved at the weekend. Bruno Fernandes is a number 10. I don't sell Bruno Fernandes as a number 10. I'll sell him as a midfielder. Why let Gallagher go to Spurs if this was the plan, says Joe? Because we don't want to spend £40 million, do we? Good question, though. It's Joe Hendry, isn't it? Says Prison Mike. But can Martinez be consistent to prove his point, says John? Well, he's put, you know, Martinez is the right character to go out there and prove himself every week. But it's very difficult to go and perform well every single week. The problem, Mark, is that some comments were entirely personal and have nothing to do with player management ability. Scholes talked about Carrick's wife. No, he didn't. Roy Keane did, Drexler. Transfer meeting is about who they can sell, not buy, says Claire. I think the transfer meeting will be about, can we let Ugarte and Xerxes go to raise a bit of money and then you can get a loan deal? I think you're probably right about that. Manchester Evening News in 2022. Michael Carrick has admitted Donny van de Beek wasn't given enough first team opportunities at Manchester United before heading out on loan. Fits the bill, says John. And Football Analyst says, I saw a clip the other day of when Ten Hag was in charge. Gary Neville was calling out the owners and saying the players aren't good enough. 3 years later, we've got the same midfield and a very similar back line of Glinios, says Football Analyst. Well, you know, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a midfield that we were using 2 years ago on Saturday. Hi, Mark. I think it's Loftus-Cheek as twins. I went to the City game. Ballon d'Or was great. I've done that one, haven't I, from Gaz? Okay, got a couple of other bits I want to get into. This was quite interesting this morning, and I call bullshit. Caught offside. Manchester United are ready to challenge Napoli and Atletico Madrid for Wolves midfielder João Gomez as they prepare for life without Casemiro. Napoli have broadly agreed personal terms with the Brazilian, but no fee agreement has been reached with Wolves yet. Now, João Gomez and Wolves have done quite well in the last few weeks, and he is a good player. the interesting thing for me is that that deal is likely to happen in January. I don't think Man United will do it. I don't. I think it's too much money for United to go and get João Gomes. And from the player I know that they're looking at, or I think they're looking at, it's a very, very different scenario. Age, short-termism, wage, price. I don't think they'll go for João Gomes in January. And G-Man says, I think we can do better than that. Look, for me, Elliot Anderson is the guy. But I think it's... And if we get Elliot Anderson in the summer, I would say, I've got no issue with that. That's a very, very good signing. You need more than Elliot Anderson, by the way. Elliot Anderson's playing in a side that's fifth from bottom or fourth from bottom. So Elliot Anderson on his own doesn't make you a world beater. You know, Declan Rice played for West Ham in the bottom half of the table. Elliot Anderson plays for Forest in the bottom half of the table. On his own, he won't be enough. But I think he is the guy that United need. You know, apparently he's played more minutes than anybody else. His statistics are great, but on the eye, he's great. And he's exactly what Man United need. But I'm going to tell you now what I said on That's Football over the weekend. I heard from two very credible sources last week that Man City were looking at Elliot Anderson. Three big deals in January. Not, I don't think they're signing him in January, but they're working on it big time for the summer because they want to keep buying players like that, like they've done over the last few months. You know, Donnarumma, Cherki. They're bringing good young talent in. Semenyo, Gehi. They want Anderson, and apparently it's quite advanced. So... it's going to be very hard to compete against Man City because they've got the money, they've got the wages. I mean, Gehi is earning ridiculous money, apparently, by the way. They've got the money, they've got the wages, and they've got the stability, and they've got the vision. They can say, we're going to be in the Champions League for the next few years, we're going to compete for the Premier League for the next few years, we're going to pay you good money, you're going to play in a brilliant team, come to Man City, have a stable, consistent career, and keep building, you know, as an England regular. Or Man United are going to go, come to Man United, we don't know whether we can afford you, we don't know who the manager's going to be, we don't know whether we're going to be playing in Europe, and we certainly can't guarantee we'll be fighting for the Premier League. And that's going to be really difficult. And unless he's got a Man United tattoo on his arse, and I think he's actually a boyhood Newcastle fan, I think it's very, very difficult to get Anderson, but that's the player I would like to get. As for Baleba, I still think he's most likely... The interesting thing is if you go for Baleba, it's a club signing, isn't it? And do United want to take that risk on a Berarda and a Wilcox who are massively under scrutiny? If you buy Baleba, it's not an Amrim signing, it's the board signing because they wanted him in the summer. Amrim's been sacked and they still go for him. So if you go for Baleba, we all know that is a board signing, i.e. Wilcox. So it's a big risk because you are basically signposting that you've decided to do that. Malp says, I think Anderson will go to City 100%. And that, you know, you need to watch the video this morning because I think that if Anderson does go to City, it does confirm what we were talking about this morning, that I don't think the long-term vision of the football club is a very happy place unless you like fighting for fifth. I just don't see us infiltrating the top three with the plan that we've got because everybody else just keeps getting stronger. And whilst we will spend money, we won't spend it on the quality or the frequency of those top two, three, four clubs in England. Do you dislike Baleba? No, I don't dislike Baleba. I'm just saying that he's not had a very good season. And I think some of us thought it was an Amrim player. If we buy him in the summer, it's clearly a board player, isn't it? Amit says, I love the channel. Thank you very much. Appreciate you. Weston McKennie says Chain Fisher. Thank you very much for that. Let me just have a quick look. When's EAFC coming back? Says D. Well, it should be back soon, but let me just say there might be a video going up this week that involves kitchens. Let's have a quick look here. Yeah, I've read that before. We've done that. What's wrong with X this morning? I feel like...
No, I've seen that.
Oh, just come out. This is what I want to talk about. So Dermot Gallagher says that Dalot should have been sent off for his challenge in the Manchester Derby. He's gone in high, straight legged. For me, it's a red card. Well, you know, Dermot Gallagher does get it wrong a lot. But it doesn't really matter. Commiserations to Mazraoui as well. To get all the way to the final of the AFCON and not win it must have been very, very disappointing for him. But look, the positive for us is that we've got Mazraoui back. And we saw at the weekend. And look, we saw what we were like for those weeks without Ahmad Mbeumo and Mazraoui. And, you know, we should still have been able to beat Burnley. We shouldn't have got knocked out by Brighton. And obviously Fletcher was in charge for those. So you'd have expected a bit of a bounce. But you saw, you know, in defence... Look, there's no point talking about Amrim, he got sacked. But look, in defence of Fletcher, Fletcher had to play Burnley and Brighton without Ahmad and Mbeumo and Mazraoui. I don't think we would have beat Man City without Mbeumo and Ahmad at the weekend. So look, this might surprise people, but let's have a bit of a shout out for Darren Fletcher, because I think that with Ahmad and Mbeumo, we'd have beat Brighton and we probably would have beat Burnley. And I think that was a big boost for Carrick to be able to have those back. Harder game against Man City than Brighton, of course, but, you know, Fletcher didn't have those players. And with Mazraoui coming back as well, they're not new signings. I'm not having that it's like new signings, but it will be a big help to have those three players back in the squad. We saw how bad we were without them. Three players of that quality is going to really help us. So, yeah, commiserations to Mazraoui, but, yeah, big, big player to have back with United. Could be Mazakites from Olympiakos, the youngster, says LPR. City owners equals signings, United owners equals sacking, says Amit. Weston McKennie says Chain. Definitely do check out the video this morning. I feel like some of you might not have watched it. I'll pin it in the video description. Do watch it. It's only 10 minutes and it's just more of a longer term issue that United have got, i.e. owners, i.e. Wilcox, i.e. I think that it's great to beat Man City and hopefully we can get into Europe, but I wouldn't be blind to the fact that where does that go? Where does that Man City result go? Does it mean that United are going to win, you know, have a win ratio of 60% and start fighting for the title? Or is it just another sporadic moment of positivity that will be dampened down by a board that doesn't have the ambition to actually fight for those titles? And I think there is evidence that we don't. And I think that long term, whoever the manager is, they're going to be fighting against teams with better squads and better budgets and better recruitment. And that's going to be very, very difficult, especially when we need to build a stadium. And I personally think that Berarda has dropped the hint that we're happy with the Europa League each year, as long as we're making money and stabilising while we build a stadium. But check the video out. It's well worth a watch. Okay, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I've got to go and eat. I've been at the dentist. I've not had anything to eat this morning and I'm bloody starving. If you want to have more chat, you can continue. Football Terrace is live with Terry. I'm sure he'll be talking a little bit about the loan deal stuff as well. And when you've watched that, you can check out the video we put out this morning. It's definitely worth a watch. Thank you, Mark and the United Stand, for the great show as always. Take care and best wishes. Beth's back on the show at 2. You can ask her all about what it was like to be in a box and watch the derby. I haven't watched it yet. I don't know what they did. But back at 2 and 8 o'clock show tonight as well. And obviously, fingers crossed, maybe we'll be reacting to something very, very soon. Very, very soon. I'll speak to you all in a bit. Take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books.
Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.